We thank the Lord for His mercies, His goodness, and kindness in our lives, and allowed us to be back at Maranatha. Amen. It's been a while. I haven't been up here, but thank the Lord for the opportunity and provision God has allowed us to be with you. Before I preach, I had several of people yesterday asked me to share some of the things what the Lord has done during our trip to India. Thank you again for praying for us. A lot of them have told me, shared with me that they have prayed. But all I want to say today is God is still on the throne. He's working. He's got a business that is to save the lost. And I'm glad God is saving all over the world, and especially in the heathen lands. Amen. I'm glad that God is still moving, bringing captivities unto Himself, breaking bonds of chains of sin, and bringing them to light. That's the glorious gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. So just a quick notice or quick words of what God has done. We were there for about 14-15 days of our trip, and we started with a nice youth camp. I was privileged to start a youth camp last year. We had about 90 young people show up from 7 different churches, and this year we continued that, and God just helped us, and it was a blessing to see about 110 to 130 young people in the camp. And it was 4-day camp. It was a blessing. It was on Wednesday night, God showed up amongst us in power, and the Word of God was preaching. And I believe, I'm not about numbers, but about 47 young people just committed their lives to the Lord. Some of them were saved. Some of them got right with the Lord. It was just amazing to see how the Lord changed a lot of these lives. Some of them are Hindus. It was interesting. God saved Hindus in a special way. It was incredible just to see 2 young girls got up from the service and said, "We are Hindus, sisters." They said, "We don't have mama nor dad. We're just orphans. We lived all our lives without parents. We're making it." But they said the gospel came to them in reality, in power of the Holy Spirit, and God changed their hearts. They said, "We no longer want to serve those idols, but we want to serve the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ." That thrilled my soul. And it was interesting. Even young boys wept and cried and got saved and got right with the Lord. Just an amazing week of camp. And God saved some, so we had some of the young people said, "We want to be baptized." So next week, they were scheduled to be baptized. So next week, at the same time of their baptism, we had to go to a village. So they were baptized in a village church. So here we are baptizing. And even before we started baptizing, we evangelized kind of that village. For a couple of days, we put pamphlets out. We put the notice out that we're going to have a tent meeting on a certain night. And it was the whole village. We went in and shared the thing, that the notice that we're coming in to preach and have meetings. And here was the chairman or the chief of that town said, "No, we don't want that." But in spite of him, we went and had the meeting. So the meeting started with the baptism. We had a good gathering of young people and adults in the church. Started at the baptismal pool, where we don't have the baptismal pool in the church, but outside the church. And we were baptizing out there, and it was interesting. People on the road saw what was going on and started coming into that setting. One of our brothers preached just a small message of the gospel, and it cranked really well. And the meeting started off well, and we started seeing one after the other. Even after the baptism was over, people by the hundreds started coming in. And by the end of the meeting, we had a couple of hundred people show up. In fact, the whole town showed up that night, and we had a great blessing. You know what the interesting part of that meeting? The chairman or the chief also came in and sat in the meeting to hear the Word of God. And that night, God moved again. We had Brother Brandon White. Some of you know, he preached. And Ethan Goforth, you know that, him, right? So he preached, both of them preached, and God used both of them in a special way. And I give God the glory for that setting and that meeting. So like that, we had several meetings, like pastor's conference. We had family conference for a day or two. And we had different kinds of people, different settings. It was just marvelous just to see how the Lord worked through His Word. So we give God the glory. Thank you for praying for us. Please continue to pray for us as we serve faithfully in our country. We're in persecution. We're striving, but the Lord has been faithful to help us. So please continue to pray. So this morning, I desire for us to turn our Bibles to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 3. We've been dealing with the subject of sanctification this week. And I believe God has given us something to say. And all I could say is this subject of sanctification is very important in our lives. God is He, that's His program, it's His work that He sanctifies His people. But we, as a child of God, we have a responsibility to repent and believe all the way into heaven. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Judges chapter 3, and we'll read from verses 12 till verses 30. Just to give you an overview of the story that we're going to deal with today. So Bible says in 12th verse of 3rd chapter of Judges, if you all stand with me in the honor of reading God's Word, it'll be a blessing if you're physically able to do so. Judges 3:12, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel, and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. And by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger which had two edges of a cubit length. And he did gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab. And Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat, and Ehud put forth his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into the belly. And the haft also went into after the blade, and the fat closed up the blade so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly. And the dirt came out. Then Ehud went forth through the porch and shut the doors of the parlor upon him and locked them. When he was gone out, his servants came, and when they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked, they said, surely he covereth his feet in his summer chamber. And they tarried till they were ashamed. And behold, he opened not the doors of the parlor. Therefore they took a key and opened them. And behold, their Lord was fallen down dead on the ground. And Ehud escaped while they tarried and passed beyond those quarries and escaped unto Seirath. And it came to pass when he was come, he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim. And the children of Israel went down from him, from the mount, and he before them. And he said unto them, follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hands. And they went down after him, and took the fords of the Jordan toward Moab, and suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty, that means all fatty, and all men of valor, and there escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. It means 80 years. So this morning, my desire is to preach or to speak on this subject of mortifying the flesh. Killing the flesh is very important. Here in this passage of Scripture, we find Eglon, a king, the king of Moab, represents the flesh. And God raises up a man, a Benjamite, Ehud, as a warrior, as a soldier of God, to kill this flesh. So we'll see what the Lord has for us. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you again for this privilege. As we bow this morning, asking you for your grace, God, would you help us? Would you please give us the Word of God? Give us the Spirit of God and help us to preach, to hear what you have to say. God, use your people today. Use your men. God, use your young people here as they hear the Word of God. Let them be attentive and obedient to thy Word is our prayer. Thank you for this week, what you're doing for us and what you're yet going to do for us. For we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, please. Flesh. John Knox, a man, a great man of God, said something like this about flesh. I know how hard the battle is between the flesh and the spirit under the heavy cross of affliction, when no worldly defense but present death that appear before me. Young people, this morning, as I speak on this flesh, I want to bring to you something that is so real, and the subject of this flesh is so real, and it's taught in the Word of God several times. And this man of God says, I know a grudging and a murmuring complaint in my flesh all the time. John Knox's statement sounds remarkably like that of Apostle Paul, who openly acknowledged a personal struggle in his sin nature, or with his sin nature. Paul states in his letters, and many letters he states, but in Romans especially, we find that there was something, he says, in the members of his body. Members of the Scriptures speak of different parts of the body. It could be head, hands, legs, etc. But he says there's something in them that's alive, that speaks. It has power. It takes over if you let it control your life. And friend, what is this, you might say? It's flesh. Flesh is alive this morning. Flesh always wants to conquer you. Flesh wants to take over your life if you let him. But is there a remedy? Can we kill? Can we do something about this flesh? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. We have a good news that we can mortify. We can kill the flesh. We can subdue like these people subdued the land of Moab, you know, when they took over their country. Paul uses flesh of the whole man, the whole body and soul, reason, and all his faculties included, because all that is in him longs to strive after flesh. So this morning, as we read this passage of Scripture, this chapter is an interesting chapter. If you find your places, if you look through the chapter, we find the first judge is the judge named Othniel. We find him as a man of God does something to the people of Israel. And the second judge is Ehud. That's what we're looking at. And the third judge is Shamgar. In fact, it's interesting in this chapter that we find the record given by the exploits of these three judges shows that they faced three different enemies. The enemies that they faced remind us today of evil trinity. It's unholy trinity faced by the people of God. Indeed, an evil triad faced by God's people at all ages. At all ages, from the beginning of time where God saved, God called people out, God's people warred against the enemies. This morning, I want to point out to you that we have an enemy standing against us. We are in war, young people. And if you watch carefully, Bible speaks that there are three different enemies. Number one, of course, is the devil. Number two, of course, is the flesh that we're talking today. And the third enemy is the world. In the first chapter verses of that chapter, we find a picture of devil, the evil one, as Shushan Rishathaim. If you see in the first five to 11 verses, we find Othniel, a man of God. In fact, Othniel simply means a lion of God. See, how can you overcome? How can you subdue the devil? God raised up a man by the name of Othniel, which means lion of God. He stood as the strength of God and fought for the people of Israel and ran the devil out of that nation, Shushan Rishathaim. Then later part of this chapter, only 31st verse, only one verse talks about the other enemy by the name world. God raises up an enemy against the people of Israel. 600 strong men of Philistines come over and take over the land of Israel. But God raises a stranger. His name is Shamgar. Shamgar simply means a stranger. How can we overcome this world? We can live to this world as a stranger. We have to live and strive to live as a stranger and fight a good fight against this world. And Shamgar killed 600 strong men. And these strong men resemble the world. Talking about materialism, intellectualism, money, wealth, pomp, whatever you want to think about in this world that you get speaks about that in these 600 Philistines. But today we're looking at Ehud, the life of Eglon, how he took over the land of Israel. It's interesting, Eglon, the king of Moab, represents flesh. And God's word gives us enough of truth about flesh. And we find it as an enemy of God and also to us. How many times have we not heard from the scriptures? The friendship with the world is the enmity of God. Friends, we cannot be friends with the world and friends with God at the same time. You cannot serve two masters. This morning, we were looking at Matthew chapter 6, as young people, we read yesterday. We're thinking about the stuff that Lord has revealed there concerning for the people. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things shall be added unto you. But He goes on and says, don't invest your life in this world. Don't invest your things in this earthly things, but invest your life. Invest the things that you desire are the most according to heaven, so when you do that, nobody can steal us. Thieves cannot rob, moths cannot take over, it won't get rusted. But friends, here we see that there is an enemy that always battles. Some of you say, I've been saved by the grace of God. Praise the Lord, you've been saved. But friend, the war starts the day you're saved by the grace of God. It's interesting in my life as I was saved by 9 years, I can faithfully say this morning that God has kept me. God has preserved me. God's given grace for me to sustain and walk this life that He's called us, a worthy call to walk according to the Spirit. spirit. But I'll tell you, there's an enemy within me that battles me every day. It's striving every day to take over my life, to put me in danger, to bring me to a place that'll bring reproach unto the name of God. It haunts me. It within me, it murmurs. There's an enemy, young people, in your life. If you're saved by the grace of God, I'll tell you, if you have to walk according to the Spirit, that's the reason Paul says in many times, walk not according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit of God. I don't have much time to explain, but if we were to look at Romans chapter 7 and 8, it gives a great picture how to overcome this thing called flesh, our greatest foe. In fact, comparing the devil, flesh, and the world, who is the greatest enemy? I'll tell you, we are the greatest enemy. For flesh lives in us. Flesh wars within us every day. And he says here, the flesh sometimes referred to as an old man. I can tell you that the old man is envy. In every Christian is alive and well. He's not destroyed. In fact, a lot of people say that once you're saved, everything's going to be all right. Friend, you're not perfected yet. He that beginneth a good work in you shall perform it, shall perfect it, shall bring it to pass until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, when will you lose the power of the flesh? When you see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. But until that day, we have to war. Until that day, we have to stand. Until that day, we need to recognize that our enemy is flesh. That's the reason. He says in the book of Romans, turn with me just a second, to Romans chapter 8. We'll see what he's saying there. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit do the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. What words are these spoken by Paul? He says, friend, if you're carnally minded, worldly minded, fleshly minded, you will never understand the things of God. That's the reason we need to be saved by the grace of God. That's the need. That's the need of the gospel. That's the need. You need to hear the gospel and be transformed so that you be regenerated. Then, friend, comes the war. Then you'll understand why this sin has taken over your life. Why do you fall to sin all the time? Because there is a enemy within you, which is the flesh. Then he says, the 8th verse, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Friend, flesh only brings death. Flesh cannot bring any fruit. All the fruit of the flesh is death, and you can never please God. But he says in the first verse of that chapter, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We heard that last night. Said, to them that are in Christ Jesus, we don't no longer fall to condemnation. None to condemn us, but who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Quickly look with me to Galatians chapter 5. Verses 16. Galatians 5:16, he says. Well, let's look at 19, then come back to 16. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh. Here, look at it. These are the works. These are the fruits of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, which means jealousy, wrath, strife, seditions, which means divisions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. See, these are the fruits that flesh bears. And look at that 16th verse. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How can we overcome the flesh? By walking in the Spirit of God. What is this walk? This term walk is a military term. He says walk circumspectly. He uses in Ephesians in several places, walk carefully, walk disciplined. This is the term that he uses, walk carefully every day. As young people, we see a lot of things. We come across a lot of things. We read a lot of things. We listen to a lot of things. But when you start feeding the flesh will take over your life. And friend, then comes the destruction upon your life. So here the people of Israel did something contrary to the word of God. Let's go back to our chapter 3 of Judges. Here it says in the 12th verse, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel. See, we find, first thing, the companions of flesh. When people of Israel sinned, immediately God raised up an enemy against them, the king of Moab. And also in the 13th verse, he gathered unto them the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel and possessed the city of the palm trees. See, who are these people, Moabites and Amalekites? Who are these people? We find in the book where we get the idea, where we find the children of Lot, the two daughters of Lot, the incest act bore Moab and Ammon. Then where we get the idea, Moabites and Ammonites. Moab was always referred to as cesspool of sin. Moab had nothing good in them, but always sin abounded all across the land of Moab. And they came over, the king of Moab came and took over the land of Israel. Who is this Ammon? Ammon simply means Ben Ami, the son of my people. Ben simply means son. And we find both Ammon and Moab are the people of sin. And every corner of their streets were filled with sin. Ideologies, their principle, their philosophy is just based on sin. Friend, when you sin against God, we find God strengthened Eglon, the people of Moab. When you sin in your life, friend, God strengthens. God, you strengthen, and you feed on that flesh and feed to that flesh, and the flesh grows within you, and it will start corrupting you. And also we find Amalekites. Who's this Amalekite? Amalek is a grandson of Esau, the son of Eliphaz, and the concubine Timnah. It's interesting, Amalekites never had a land. They were never known to have a nation. They're scavengers. They have no territories. They're like nomads. Their lifestyle is a nomadic lifestyle. They migrate from place to place, take advantage of people. They travel. They lived along the southern canons of agriculture land of Israel. They used to sneak in to people of Israel and tear and destroy the crops and steal everything and go back and live a nice life. See, when you give a place for sin, friend, sin will come into your life. It'll feed on you day by day. Somehow you'll find your place in a corner one day. Said, how did I get here? Why am I here, friend? This is the day that the Lord has given you to recognize, to see that what kind of a lifestyle that you're living, what kind of place you're in. Is sin still lording over you? Is sin still ruling and reigning in your heart? Are you giving place to the flesh in your life? If not, friend, you should be walking in the Spirit of God. We find the companions of flesh. It's interesting, there's something that the Lord has said about Amalekites. It was during that war with Israel and Amalekites. God says, write these for a memorial in a book. He was saying to Moses, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua and people. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalekites from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, because the Lord had sworn that day that the Lord will have war against Amalek and from generation to generation. Friend, God never loved sin. God hates sin, for He is holy. God cannot put up with sin. But I'll tell you, praise be to God, God didn't leave us in sin, but God gave His only beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to this sin-cursed earth. We sing it all the time. Long lays the world in sin and error pining, until He appeared, the soul felt its worth. God gave His beloved Son on the cross of Calvary. He died for you and my sin, where He put the flesh also to death. He casted the devil in a place where he cannot rule and lord over you. For He hath bought you with the precious blood of his Son. And friend, this morning, He says, I still have a war against sin, especially concerning Amalekites. And friend, you and I are not supposed to love sin. We cannot live in sin. We're commanded to live a holy and righteous life. Is that not what we're learning these nights? It says, be holy, for I am holy. Unless one is holy, he cannot, she cannot see God. And friends, this should be the day in our lives we should take inventory and start thinking, am I a holy child of God, or I am just another person? If you're really saved this morning, let me challenge you to live a consecrated, a holy life so that God may use in a special way. And friend, the day came in their lives, people of Israel's life. All of a sudden, the people of Moab took over the land. It's interesting, I find in Ezekiel chapter 7, that valley of dry bones, everything was going okay, but all of a sudden, we find God takes Ezekiel down into that valley just to see, just to show him the valley full of bones. He said, what happened to these bones? These bones represent people of Israel. Friend, the day will come in your life, you think, well, I can get by sin, by sinning, and maybe not God's not watching. Maybe my parents are not watching. Maybe my friends are not watching. I'll tell you, God up in heaven has always had His eye upon you. He watches His people. He looks, He tries, He searches, He moves, He talks to His people. If this morning the Lord is talking to you concerning holiness, I challenge you, young people, to say, God, I want to be holy. In fact, it's interesting, the Lord spoke to Moses and said, after they were worshiping that golden calf, Moses comes down to the mountain. After he saw the glory of God upon his face, he saw the filthiness and the sin and the wicked and vile acts of people of Israel. He said, God despises blesses that. He says, who is on the Lord's side? Let me challenge you, as a sinner saved by grace, I ask you, I've seen the glory of God. If you ever feel the touch of God, if you ever be filled with the Spirit of God, it's a blessed privilege. It's a joy in my heart. It's been a great walk of my life as a young man to be filled with the Spirit of God and just see the blessing of God and the hand of God and the move of God upon my life. As young as you are, if you understand, if you take a challenge in your life and say, I am on the Lord's side, I promise you, God's going to do great things in your life. God's going to teach you the ways you've never thought. God's going to take you to places you've never been before, and He will prove His faithfulness. He will prove His grace upon you. He'll prove His mercies, which are new every morning in your life, and you'll see a marvelous grace of God working in your life. You'll have a great relationship. You'll have a best fellowship. You'll have somebody to talk to all the time. You have somebody to meet with all the time. Though friends and family forsake you, but God, our God, sticks closer than a friend. I promise you this. Young people, it's a blessed walk to walk a life of spirituality and be filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:8 has been quoted so many times. It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein it's excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit of God. Young people, listen to me. This day should be the day in your life that I should desire that we should walk according to the Spirit. Filled by the Spirit simply means to be controlled by the Spirit. Young people, it's a blessed thing to be controlled by the Spirit. He will guide you. In fact, He said before He left to heaven after ascension, I will send another comforter. He will walk with you. He will teach you in all the things whatsoever I commanded. He will help you through the way. He'll walk with you. He'll speak with you. He'll give you grace. He will show you the things of God in a special way so He can serve your generation in the will of God. And that's my desire in my life. It's been like that. It's been hard for me. I saw the flesh subdue me. I saw the flesh try to grab a hold of me day after day. I saw the flesh wants to destroy my life. But I told myself, I said, self, I will strive by the grace of God. I will walk according to the Spirit of God. When I did that, when I asked God, that Lord, I'm on your side. God, help me. Then was the day, a best day of my life. God started pouring grace. God started meeting with me. When I confessed, when I asked God, God, would you please, God, make me a channel where you prove your faithfulness in my life. Then was the day, a great day in my life. Just to tell you, young people, it's worth it. It's not God, our God, who's worthy to be praised today. Is He not worthy to be lived a holy life for? For He has lived a holy life in this sin-cursed world and died for you. And how come we are living a life of flesh, lust, and desire and after the things of this world? Are those worth it? No. We were talking about the life of Samuel yesterday. And what a blessing. It was a young man. Mom threw him in the courts of God, where he sat there and learned the scriptures. How do you start? By being filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18. It's a twin epistle to Colossians 3:16, where we find the same words by Paul saying, be ye controlled by the Word of God. The evidence of being filled, Spirit-filled, is being controlled, filled by the Word of God. Young people, the Word of God will teach you. The Word of God is enough for you. It's sufficient for you to grow in the knowledge, in the grace of God, in the power of God, so that you'll be a stranger to this world. You'll be a person like no one has ever seen before. A godly people, that's what we need. And friend, is there not a reason today to live a holy life. Oh, Israel had so many blessings upon their lives, but you know what they did? They continuously fell to sin. This thing of putting flesh to death is an everyday task. That's the reason Paul says, I die daily. I die daily. And people, I've learned through the years that I cannot put the flesh to death one day and not another day. It's in fact, it's interesting. In that 13th verse, we find the last thing. It says, they possessed the city of palm trees. What is this palm trees? Do you ever hear of Jericho? That's a city of palm trees. Did they not already conquer Jericho? Yes, they have. In fact, it was interesting where they walked around those huge, humongous, powerful walls. And God said, you walk and stand there and shout for the glory of God. When they shouted out, those walls went down. In fact, it's interesting. There the term means the earth opened up and the walls went into the earth. They didn't even have to climb the walls, but they had to just walk over and take over that land of Jericho. But see what happened later. Enemy came back and took over what was already possessed. It might be something in your life today that you might have victory in some areas before, but now since you have given way to the flesh, maybe today you're struggling in that area. You may be struggling in that particular situation of your life where the flesh is trying to overtake you and possess everything of yours. But I tell you, today may be the day in your life if you submit to the Spirit of God. If you ask God, God, fill me with the Spirit. God, give me grace to live. God, teach me how to mortify the flesh every day of my life. I'll tell you, I promise you, God's going to give you victory. In fact, He'll give you twice the fold that He has already given you victory of your life, and you will live a victorious life for your Savior. And friend, what a blessing it is to know that we are victorious in Christ. We're not a bunch of losers. No, we're not some who are beaten. No, we are children of God. We have a great God who marches before us. He takes us. He watches over us. He gives us grace. He pours His great grace upon us to walk. And He opens the ways for us to walk. But let's look after the companions of the flesh. Let's think about the capability, the control of the flesh. See, since people of Israel sinned, they had to serve this King Eglon for how many years? 18 years. 18 years is a long time. A lot of things can happen. A lot of people die. A lot of people were born. A lot of things, a lot of changes have probably taken place. 18 long years they served Eglon. After 18 years, it struck to their mind. It made sense. What are we doing? I don't know. I don't know what we're doing today. It might not be 18 years, but it might be 8 hours. It might be 8 days in your life you've been struggling. But friends, we have the victory in the Lord Jesus. We are victorious. How come we're falling to sin? How come we're giving away the flesh? Letting it subdue us. Why can we not walk in the Spirit of God and ask Him humbly, God, I submit to You new, afresh today. God, teach me the ways of God today. Today be the day in Your life. Today be a day in my life that I'll fall across and say, God, I'm desperately need of Your anointing. Anointing speaks of the power of God. It's in fact, it's said by so many people, you cannot explain anointing. I know that. But I'll tell you. You know when it's there and you don't know when it's not. You know when it's not there. So friend, we want to be a people that are anointed by the Spirit of God. It's not some charismatic crash I'm talking about. But a fruitful life that'll bring joy to God. Where you can enjoy God in your life. We speak of that first, the catechism. Where we find, it's interesting, it says, What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. A lot of people, we glorify God and we stop there. Let me ask you today, when was the last time you enjoyed God in your life? When was it, young people? How can you enjoy God by living in flesh? We cannot enjoy God. But I'll tell you, by the grace of God, God has given me a greater taste, a greater love for my Savior. Ever since I submitted to the Spirit of God and I yielded myself to Him, I said, God, you're my sustenance. You're my king. You're my chattel. Where God, I want to be used of you. You're my master. When I said, God, Holy Spirit, control me, fill me, use me. God, teach me the words of your word. God, teach me the ways of God. Give me the plans that you have for me. Then came the joy of my life. Then comes the time of my life where I can worship God and also enjoy Him forever. Young people, we enjoy a lot of things in this world, but I'll tell you, there's nothing more worth enjoying in this world than enjoying God. As young as we are, we need to learn to enjoy God. And friend, there's a greater enjoyment in God and the things of God and in the Word of God and prayer than the things that are in this world. We cannot enjoy the world. We cannot enjoy the things of this world, for the world has nothing to offer us. But I'll tell you, there's so much that God has offered to us, and the best thing that He has offered to us is His beloved Son. And that's the reason there is a purpose. That's the reason there is a plan of God for us. That's the reason there is something to worship and enjoy Him for today. If you can enjoy God, friend, I don't know what you can enjoy. He said, I'll enjoy when I get to heaven. Sir, heaven is not heaven without Jesus Christ. If you can't enjoy Jesus on this world, by according to the Spirit of God, I don't think you can ever get up there and enjoy in heaven. I'm sorry, young people. It's the best thing. It's the best thing I learned in my life. I saw it. I experienced it. I'm not talking about a mystical experience. No, I sat there day after day where my pastors, my teachers taught me, took me through the verses of the Bible, took me through the chapters, took me through the books of great men of God. They read to me. They showed me. I saw when my pastors, my teachers get up and pray in the Holy Ghost. I saw what a reality, what a presence of God, what a powerful God is our God. That made me want to have that. That made me long for it. I long every day to be controlled by the Spirit of God so that I can enjoy in this wicked and sinful world, knowing that I am filled. I have a greater purpose. I know a God that is greater than this world that can offer me. Spirit is the key, young people. Spirit of God is the key where we can subdue the spirit of the world or this flesh. My time's running out. I've got so much to say. They served and they supplied. What was said about Eglon? Eglon. There's only one verse that talks about Eglon. Eglon is a very fat man. They fed him every day. They brought him presents every day, every hour. He demanded. When you start feeding your flesh, flesh demands you. It asks for more. It craves for more. It talks to you. Give me more of this world. Give me more of this sin. I've witnessed that. I've experienced that in my own life. I'm telling as a child of God, if you feed on flesh, it will ask you for more. It demands for more of this world and the sin of this world. And that's the reason you gotta get rid of this flesh as soon as possible. But it's impossible to get rid of it. But I'll tell you, it will be possible on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. But until then, we have a task. We are commanded to mortify, to kill it, to subdue it every day, day to day, hour to hour. If it could be a small thought that erupts in your mind, what you should say, God, forgive me. Let it be far from me that I'd sin against thee. If your eye affects you to sin, friend, God says, pluck it out. That doesn't mean cut it out and throw it. No, he's talking about take extreme measures in your life that you will not fall into sin. If your hand affects you, friend, cut it off. If your leg hinders you from enjoying the presence of God, cut it off. Get your sin out of your life. How can you do that? By submitting yourself and trusting God, for he had shed his blood. He didn't spill his blood on the cross of Calvary. He shed his every drop, precious, powerful blood, where it can save, cleanse, and protect and preserve you until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can young people can we learn these things unless we're told? And friend, there is a way for you and I to listen to the Word of God and hear it and obey it and yield ourselves to the Spirit so that God would help us in times of temptation and trial. God does not tempt people with sin. I don't think so. It's our nature. It's an old nature in us. But I'll tell you, God has given grace to so many saints of God, Brother Dan. What a blessing to see the biographies of godly men. They tell you day after day how they struggled with flesh, how they struggled with life, brother. But I tell you, God's grace was poured on them in a special way when they yielded to the Spirit of God. We were tempted when we were tempted and tried. Oh, I run to the Lamb of God and ask God for mercy. I run to him and say, God, Holy Spirit, I need you more than ever before in my life to run this race, for he has called me. Then he also goes on and says, the control of flesh is very powerful if you let him. The supply, he ate every day, Eglon was fed, and he became very fat. But we see the conquest of the flesh. This is the fun part, where God raises a man, a Benjamite. Nobody, in fact, Benjamin, the father of Benjamite is Benjamin, son of Jacob. We find he was born on the side of the road on the way. His mama dies right after his birth. What a picture of just a regular young man was born, but out of that young man, God used. You might be here. You might say, I don't have a lot of things in his life, in your life. It's all right, friend. If you got God in your life, that's all you need. You got the presence of God. You got the Spirit of God in your life. That's all you need. He will walk with you. He will take you to the end, and he will be faithful to you until the end. Friend, this man, Ehud, was raised by God. God raised him up. Judges are simply means deliverers. These are not some people are judging, but these are deliverers. God raised up a deliverer out of themselves. You might be here today, listen to the Word of God. God wants you to be a child of God, who be a vessel that be used of God if you yield of him. Ehud. What's interesting about Ehud, twice in this chapter is mentioned about Gilgal. If you know Gilgal, it's just a regular 12 stones were present in one area where God promised people of Israel. He said at Gilgal, said, your shame will be taken off. From now on, there's no shame about you. They served Egypt for so many years. But says, you don't have to be ashamed of them because I delivered you. That's a special place for Israel. And Ehud goes there and prays every day. What a great picture for us, friend. When you fall into temptation, when things are not going right, when things are not coming according to what you have planned, and sometimes it's hard for us to live. Not only the Word of God helps you and the Spirit of God, but time of prayer, time of coming to God, kneeling and saying, God, I need you. God, I need your grace. God, I need your help of the Word of God. Let the Word of God be ever real in my heart. Like David prayed, God, I'm in struggle. I'm struggling. I'm in hardship. I got enemies around me. I got people that want to kill me. I got people that hate me. I got situations that are not falling proper in my life, God, give me grace. God, give me a peace. God, teach me the ways of God. God, mold me and make me, conform me into thine image. What a time of prayer that he prayed. It's a means of grace that God has given us, the Word of God and prayer. Friend, we have to take advantage of prayer. Friend, prayer for life is a life that God desires as young people, and he'll use you. And it's interesting, friend. How can God speak to us? He don't speak through your own phone. He never opens his heaven and say, oh, come my child. He never speaks like that. He speaks out of his Word. This is the infallible, inspired Word of God. That means God breathed the breath of God in this life. He speaks out of this Word. And how can we speak back to him? Through prayer. We call on him. We communicate with him. We commune with him. We spend time with him. He would spend time with the Lord. And guess what he did? God gave him a message. He runs to King one day, said, oh, King, who served? Well, you know, he says, God, King, you took over our lives. You've been our king for 18 years. I stand before you with one message from God. And King said, what is it? He's a left-handed man. He's got a dagger packed right here on his right thigh. He takes it out. 18 cubits, just a small dagger. And he thrusts it into the king's belly. We have a double-edged sword that was given to us, which is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. See, even when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, what happened? He said three times the same thing. Is it not written, O devil? Speaking to the devil. Is it not written that thou shalt not tempt God? The Word of God is the weapon for us, young people. You hide it in your heart. Where can a young man cleanse his heart? By taking heed to thy word. For in prayer. So there he was with this dagger thrusted into King's belly. It's interesting, even the handle went into the belly, and the belly was shut up. First, it says the dirt came out. It's interesting. If you know what that dirt means, in English, you call it poop. So poop came out. It's full of poop. It's just flesh is that disgusting. Flesh is that filled with filth, and that dirt came out. Then he was there dead on the ground. Guess what he did? It's interesting. I want you to notice this. (clears throat) 23rd verse. Then Ehud went forth through the porch and shut the doors of the parlor upon him and locked them. See, immediately he ran from that presence. Friend, one thing I want to tell you today is concerning sin. You got to flee from some of the sins. Bible says flee fornication, flee youthful lust. You know why they're youthful lust? Because they start at youth. They'll stay with you until you die. That's the reason you run from them. He ran immediately when he killed the king. He ran out the porch. Then guess what he did? He locked all the doors. He shut the doors and he locked them. What a picture of an application here. We gotta shut every door of this flesh. We cannot let flesh again take over us. If there is something the Lord has dealt with you in certain ways of your life concerning flesh, if he has given victory, what you need to do, shut that door. Say, God, I pray that I'd never have to fall for that sin ever again in my life. God, give me grace to be a channel where, God, you would use me not to fall for that sin anymore. You have to shut every door, every opening that you have. It could be a TV in your life. It could be internet in your life. God, give us grace to shut those doors and run from them as fast and as far as possible. You ran from him after he killed him. He ran. Oh, what a day. He runs back to his people. He goes up the mountain and says, praise God, we got victory. Hey, we have an heavenly Ehud today. He conquered our sin on the cross of Calvary. He died for us. He was nailed for us. He was rejected by his own. He was nailed and he died. He bled for us. And guess what? On the third day, you rose up from the grave of victor. He says, it is finished and I'm going up to heaven. I'll come back to you. Even Ehud, when he killed, he went back to his people. He went to his people and said, hey, guess what? We have killed the king. We don't have any ruler upon us anymore. The day will come in your life. The King Jesus will return to us. He will march before us. He will take us unto his own. He will say, well done, thou, my beloved son. Until then, let's keep dying every day to ourselves. Let's shut all the doors of this flesh. Let's run from this flesh and wait, repenting. Let's wait, believing on the only Lord Jesus Christ that we've trusted. And until the day of the Lord Jesus comes, let's be faithful until the end and let him come and take us home. Until then, friend, you and I have a task that is to subdue, that's to kill, to mortify the flesh every day. And guess what? The day came. Ehud stood before them, said, let's go march into that town, take all our positions that were already captured. Oh, they go and take everything. That day, he says, many lusty men were there, but they killed all of them. May God give us grace to subdue, to kill, to mortify the flesh every day of our life. So that'll bring God the glory. It'll bring God a name. And let him prove his faithfulness in your life. Say, God has been faithful to me step by step by mortifying the flesh. What a picture, what a story of killing the flesh. Oh, finally we see the victory. They wept. When they wept, God provided a warrior and a weapon. Finally, God gave them victory. Young people, we are victorious people. We're not bound for this world. We're not here forever. We don't have to fall for sin. We can choose righteousness today. We can choose holiness today. We can live soberly and righteously in this present world. And friend, God demands that out of your life, as we've already heard this week. May God give us grace that as we serve, as we live our lives, let's kill the flesh every day and walk in the holiness of God. That's a sanctified life where God continues to set you and me apart for the glory of our Savior. Amen. Let's all stand. Brother Dan, you want to pray for us, please, brother?